Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Hop under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. I am on board the Caribbean Explorer to live aboard. We are in Saba, literally anchored right off the coast of the island of Saba. I'm here with Mermaid Tony. Tony, what do you think so far?
I think it's wonderful. It's a live aboard. I'm happy.
She is happy. She just did her little mermaid shtick earlier today. We got some nice footage. You got a nice little clip for your Facebook, I think, for the Mermaid Tony Facebook page of you underwater doing your mermaid thing, literally right here off the coast of Saba. Don't you feel special?
I feel very special. My eyes are still burning. Thank you for asking.
Yes. Well, and everybody else's eyes might be burning, too. Or I don't know, burning or like overwhelmed with joy. Dan Orr from Divers Alert Network, as well as Betty, is here with us to enjoy these festivities. This was your second time seeing Tony do the mermaid thing, right there, Dan?
Yes, it was. It was awesome.
Has she improved since the last time you've seen her underwater doing this?
Oh, she gets better and better with each time she does it.
I think she does. She did quite well. Now, also, obviously, we have some guests on board the CX2 this week that are joining in for the festivities for our Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise. Travis is one of those folks. Travis, you've been listening to the show for how long?
Almost 2 years now.
All right. We're about 3 days into the live aboard trip, a week-long trip here off the coast of Saba right now. So far, after 3 days of diving and hanging out with myself and Mermaid Tony, have we lived up to your expectations, or has your bubble been burst?
No, it's perfect. Everything's been more than what I thought. So.
No, I mean, personally, guys. Yeah, about us, about Tony. He made a comment yesterday. You made a comment about how me and Tony interact, and like you thought this shtick was just for the radio, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I thought it was all fake, but
now you know we really don't. We can't stand each other.
It's what I see. Yeah.
I'm Joe. No, we're bosom buddies. We are fun. We're a good dive buddy team, aren't we?
You are very good. Yeah. Tony's fun to watch underwater too.
Tony is fun to watch. I'm kind of, well, you just tolerate me, right?
I do tolerate you. Yes.
Yeah. Now, also, we also have the mermaid Muppet here on the boat with us, Tony. The mer puppet. I'm not sure what the exact thing is. All we know for sure is that she has more likes than Mermaid Tony on Facebook. And Tony's not, she doesn't like that. That kind of annoys you, doesn't it?
That part doesn't annoy me at all because I don't update my Facebook status 20 times a day like the Muppet does.
Well, she's a puppet. What do you want to do? She has nothing else to do except, you know, lay around and have people put their hands up her backside. What would you do in that case? Right, Dan?
What, you did what?
We don't really want to go there, do we? But the puppet is here. We've gotten some good shots of Tony the Mer puppet hanging out with the crew and underwater. And I don't know. Supposedly there was a film done last night of the mermaid puppet after I went to bed. And I don't know what happened. But what is this? What's going on? I'm hearing rumblings here on the CX2, Tony.
You know, there's a reason she got left behind at home for the Maldives, and I told you she's not responsible enough to bring on liveaboard. She's making quite a name for herself. They found her drunk inside one of the rinse buckets. They caught her smoking a joint, apparently.
What?
Exactly, and she's making these movies, and she's gotten a nickname. She's got a reputation now.
She's got a nickname. What is her nickname?
The Mer Slut.
Oh man, Travis, what do you think of this? What is this film that's floating around the ship that I haven't seen but heard about?
I have experienced it firsthand. Yeah, she's a dirty little monkey, but...
A dirty little mermaid, huh?
That's all I'm going to say about the film. I can't comment on it.
So, I don't know. There's evidently some kind of snuff film or something featuring Tony the Merpuppet. It's a scary thought, but that's what happens on these type of events when you bring a, you know, bring together a bunch of twisted divers like we have here on the trip this week. One of them is with me here, who actually knew Tony, I think, before the trip. Rob, how you doing, buddy?
Great. How about you?
I'm great. Where are you from?
South Carolina.
South Carolina, and you've done a few of these liveaboards before, right?
Yes, that's true.
Now, what do you think of this itinerary? Because you've actually done this before as well, right?
Yes. I prefer this itinerary over St. Kitts and being the ending stop, yes.
Yes, it is a fun place to dive. And topside, we're going to go do the land tour tomorrow. I got to ask you guys, being this is my fourth time on this itinerary, I love it. But what is the standout dive so far, or even from your past experiences? Do you have one particular site or encounter that you've had on this itinerary you thought, ooh, this was the stuff. This is why I come here every time.
Yes, Man of War Shoals so far. Best dive site.
Why? What was special about it? I slept through that one. Was it because I wasn't on it? Tony's raising her hand. I know why I liked it so much, because Greg wasn't on that dive. What's that?
Because Tony was my dive buddy.
Ah, is that what it was, Tony?
See, some people actually do like having me as their dive buddy.
What do you mean? What are you saying? Acting like I don't like you having as me? Yeah, I like having you as my dive buddy. I never said I didn't like having you as my dive buddy. You don't like having me as your dive buddy, but...
That's right. I just
right, exactly. Take it, reverse it, and then we know the real story. But what was special about that dive site, the Man of War Shoals? You remember that one too, don't you? I guess it was a highlight for you if I wasn't on the trip or wasn't on that dive with you.
It was an incredible dive. We spent the first 20 minutes or so at about 70 feet on the sand just watching the little male sailfin blennies with they had eggs in their mouths and they would come out and... So, big mouthful of eggs.
Yeah, the male sailfin blenny holds the eggs, right? And what's that all about? What is this, some kind of male reversal thing? What's going on there, Rob?
Yes, maybe we don't need to take any notes from those fish, do we?
Yeah, exactly. It's not a very manly thing, but evidently that's what they do in the marine world when it comes to sailfish blennies. The men carry the eggs. What did he say?
Because I said it wrong, now you're just going to keep saying it wrong.
What, a sailfish? No, sailfish? Sailfin blenny. Right, sailfin blenny. All right, see, Tony.
Yeah, you're totally off the mark.
Okay, well, you know what? Go find a book, read it, and you'll be good to go before you come to Saba. Dan Orr from Dives Alert Network, what do you think so far here on our liveaboard trip? What's been the standout moment for you as far as the diving is concerned around St. Kitts and Saba, which is what we've done so far?
Well, I'd have to say it was Diamond Rock. Travis and I had an absolutely fantastic dive on Diamond Rock.
Yeah, that is an amazing little site. That's very Galapagos looking, especially topside, because you have this jagged peak that just protrudes straight out of the ocean, and it's kind of like a pinnacle dive. But you swim around this thing once or twice, and actually, we got around it three times. Our little three group. You guys did how many times? How many times you get around? You got one time around, Travis?
One time. We got around once.
See, now you have a reason to come back, because you know every time you come back to this itinerary, you have to at least do one more lap. And so this is I guess I should have done four then, shouldn't I? But that's what you can do. You can look forward to that the next time, right?
Yeah, my air consumption's not that good yet, so I might make it twice, but three times.
Yeah, well, practice. It just takes practice. You know, one of the cool things about this is, for Travis, you said you grew up, you live in the Milwaukee area, right?
By Appleton, Wisconsin.
Oh, Wisconsin, right. And so all your diving has been freshwater quarries.
Yep, all cold quarries. Green and nothing but rocks.
So this trip was your first ocean encounter, first ocean adventure, right?
Yep, first ocean, first boat, first currents. I mean, everything's been brand new.
What has stood out in your mind as the most incredible thing so far, other than obviously seeing a mermaid? Yeah, you know, mermaid Tony. I'm sure that was a highlight, right?
That was the highlight. But besides that, I'd say it's every little place you look, there's something living, and then there's stuff living inside that, and nooks and crannies all over, so you can't see everything.
It's kind of like sensory overload a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah, I found myself the first day trying to see everything, and I was up and down, and I finally had to calm down and kind of concentrate on one spot.
Now, have you felt a little more special of having Dan from Dan as your dive buddy?
Honestly, yeah. We had a good time so far this week, and because you guys were here and Dan and Betty were, that's why I chose this one. So to be able to dive with them most of the week so far has been pretty cool.
Yeah, what do you think, Dan? How has he held up as a dive buddy, especially considering this is his first time in the ocean? How would you rate him?
You'd never know he was his first time. I mean, he was great. I'd love to have him as a buddy the rest of the week.
Well, there you go. Well, that's a good start there, Travis. You might have to keep doing this thing. Give these ocean dives another try or two, you think?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to book something else.
We got plenty more dives coming up. More mermaid adventures, more topside adventures on the top of Saba. You'll hear all about it next right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry. And at an affordable price, go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
Hi, this is Ricky Skerritt from the Ministry of Tourism, St. Kitts. You're listening to Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Don't turn that dial.
Yeah, thanks, Ricky. Matter of fact, we hope to hook up with Ricky Skerritt, Minister of Tourism from St. Kitts here, possibly next week. He was not on the island when we started our Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise here through Saba. So we hope to sync up with him on the phone here next week, so stay tuned for that. However, we are on the island of Saba right now. Greg the Dive Master Mermaid, Tony, first time for Tony to be on this island, and we're doing our little land tour. We're literally sitting at a place called Scout's Place. At the top, well, I don't know, maybe three-fourths or two-thirds the way up the mountain of Saba. What do you think of the view here on this island in the Caribbean there, Tom?
Oh, it's a gorgeous view. Looking to one side, we're about halfway up the mountain, so we've got this giant misty peak that looks like it's out of King Kong, and then the other direction, we've got houses and water. And it's so peaceful and serene. It's amazing.
Yeah, and matter of fact, the movie King Kong featuring Jessica Lange, they used the island of Saba as the backdrop for that film. Did you know that?
I did, only because I've heard you talking about it for the past few days.
Exactly. I forgot about that last time I was here. I remember him telling me that, and when we pulled up to the island, I'm like, God, it looks like King Kong. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's right. And one of the crew verified that once again. Now, Rob's with us as well. Rob from South Carolina, right?
Yes.
Saba, this is your... How many times have you been on the island like this?
This is my second.
Second time. Have you been to Scout's Place before? Is this a new outlook, new hangout for you?
This is a new hangout.
I've been to this place twice, and there's a place just a little bit lower from where we are right now that oversees the bay here in Saba that I've hung out a few times, from what I remember. We've picked up a couple Scuba Radio mermaids here on Saba before. Let me put it this way. We talked to them about being mermaids, and then we never saw them again. That would be a typical kind of thing. You hear what I'm saying, Rob?
I understand completely.
Yeah. Now, what do you think of the diving we've had so far off of Saba? You know, we talked a little bit about the diving in St. Kitts here earlier, but now we've done a day or so of diving in Saba. It's quite... It's dramatically different than what we had in St. Kitts, don't you think?
Yeah, it's quite a bit different. I think there's a lot more fish life on these reefs than there were on St. Kitts and Nevis. And just the wall activity that we have. I'm more of a wall fan than just the flatlands.
It's very dramatic and very windy at the top of Saba, as you can hear. So what about you, Tony? What do you think? What do you think makes the diving here off of Saba a little different than what we experienced in St. Kitts and Nevis?
Well, it's just different corals. The dives, they're a little bit deeper. You've got some walls. You've got pinnacles where you swim out in the middle of nowhere, and there's a giant pinnacle. But there is a lot of fish life. We've seen lots of turtles, just garden eels everywhere, both in St. Kitts as well as here. And I would like to mention I had yet another amazing dive this morning that you slept through. That's two.
Well, that's two, yeah, but, you know, I got to sleep sometime. You know, that's what, on these liveaboard trips, that's the one time that I have the luxury of eating too much and sleeping, as much as I would like to. And you know, you can do as many as five dives a day, and I usually do about three, but that's just me. And I've done four. I did one today. The day's not over. Well, yeah, I guess it is, because we're having a cocktail here at Scout's Place. And once you do that, the diving is done for the day. But we're doing a land tour today, so you got to mix it up. That's what's nice about this itinerary, right, Rob?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons that I chose this trip, is the opportunity to hit some of the islands in the afternoon, not just stay on the boat all the time.
Yeah, now we're, we've already taken a little tour through the rainforest here at Saba, which I've never done that before either. We took a little 20-minute walk down to the windward side of the island, I guess. What are you laughing at, Tony? What?
It was just random. We had our taxi driver taking us on the tour, and he drives us up in the middle of nowhere, stops off the side of the road, and says, okay, there's a path. Follow it, make a left. I'll pick you up at 3.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, typically that'd be somewhat intimidating, but being I've been here 3 or 4 times, the fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter where you go on the island of Saba, they know where you are, and he will find us here at the bar. We didn't tell him we're going to go to Scout's Place, but I can guarantee you, after we clean up the beer mess that Tony just made all over the table here at Scout's Place, it will be alerted to the authorities, and they will track us down and take us back to the boat on time. Tony, do we need to cut her off?
New meaning. Yeah, we probably should.
Drinks on her is what you said?
Drinks on her, yes.
Nice. Tony, what is the matter with you? Was it the wind?
I blame the wind.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, yeah. Anyway, so, but that's what you can do. You can mix it up here when you're doing a trip like this to Saba. And the island here is really remarkable. I mean, we've just literally been wandering around the island just for maybe a half an hour, 45 minutes. We really haven't seen much yet. But so far, it is quite impressive. We're going to go over and see this Jolene's Beads, or Jolene's Jewelry, or someplace. We were here last time, and she makes these glass-blown... dive flag trinkets that were quite popular on my last trip to Saba, and evidently that tradition is alive and well here on Saba. Very unique. It's funny. When I go on these trips, I'm always asked from, like, builder, producer, what did you bring me back? And I hardly ever bring him back anything worth of any kind of value whatsoever because, you know, everything, unfortunately, when you go to all the islands, a lot of times everything looks the same as far as trinkets and souvenirs. But here in Saba, it is truly unique. You can go to this place, and she makes this handcrafted glass-blown jewelry that is unique to her particular shop in Saba, and she does these dive you know, motifs, dive flags, and that kind of thing. That does make it quite unique and a really nice little souvenir from your trip. And you'll see everybody from the boat has them, is wearing them around their neck. So it's a really nice souvenir. Now, will I actually pluck down the cash to bring one of those back for Bill, the producer? Well, of course, hell no. But it's the thought that counts. And if you go on this itinerary and you're looking for something unique, well, just know that you can come to the top of Saba and find this place. And it's part of the land tour that they offer with Explore Ventures, which, by the way, exploreventures.com, you can book this itinerary as well as 5-6 other different itineraries they have around the world. And you could be experiencing the same adventure that we have going on right now. Tony, what do you think? Do you want some jewelry?
Well, I always want some jewelry. I'm a mermaid. Come on.
Well, of course. But, I mean, does that sound interesting to you to get some of this?
It does. I've heard it's absolutely fantastic, so I'm really excited to see it.
Really excited. And what about what we've seen so far? Is it the rainforest? Is it the beer that's you know, all over your lap right now? Or, well, what's standing out so far on the land-based portion of your Saba experience?
Can you ask me later?
You haven't seen enough to soak it in yet, is what you're saying. Is that right?
I'm still trying to soak it in. That's the problem. Or let my beer soak in.
They don't have, yeah, it's almost soaked in. But they don't have monkeys, I don't think, here in Saba. So, yeah. What?
I want to see a mountain goat. And apparently sometimes they occasionally walk around the sides and they fall in the water. And I'm just waiting to hear and look over from the boat.
Yes. Well, you know, here in Saba, it is unique at night. On the back of the boat, the lights are lit up. And the flying fish will fly up and literally hit the transom of the boat and end up right there on the dive deck. So maybe I'll bring one of those home for Bill the producer as a souvenir. That's an idea. Dead fish or jewelry? It's a tough decision. Stay tuned. We'll find out what we do next. We are back on the Caribbean Explorer 2 live aboard here off the coast of Saba, anchored, getting ready to do a Dan seminar with Dan Orr. He's on board with Betty, and they're going to do this a little bit later after dinner. You hear all about that in just a bit after the Dan tip, of course, as well, coming up here on the big show. However, Mermaid Tony and Rob are with me. We've been hanging around. We did the land tour of Saba, and we stopped off at Joe Beans. I don't know. What are they, beads or beans or what, Rob? Did we figure that out or what?
I think they are beads.
They are beads, but it's Joe Beads, I guess, is that the name of the place. Joe Beans?
Joe Beans Beads.
All right. Yeah, Joe Beans Beads. And Joe Bean was not here. She was not on the island, so I wasn't able to talk to her this time around. However, you go there, she has this little dive flag, glass-blown thing that you can put around your neck, and you picked up something, right? You picked up a couple of them or a couple beads for your that's one of those Cetacean slave beads, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, which is the slaves back in the day, they chucked these beads off the coast of the island of Cetacea, and that meant they were free or something like that. And you can still dive for these sometimes and find these. Did you find that one, or did you buy it at a store?
I did find it, diving a site called Blue Bead Hole off the coast of Cetacea. And the story I was told is they had a revolt back in the late 1700s. And
back in the day.
Back in the day. Threw all the beads in the water to show their freedom, and you can occasionally still find them diving or washed up on the shore.
Or you can go to Joe Beans Beads there in Saba, and I think they have some for sale, and you can say that you found them. So between you and me, you really found that one underwater?
I did.
You are the man. Either he really found it, or he's a damn good liar. And maybe he's a fisherman, which would be the same type of thing. But that's good.
I'm not a fisherman.
You're not a fisherman. So, okay, I I'm going to take his word for it. But it's cool stuff. You can get that, and you can get these little glass-blown dive flag emblems. and take home a nice little souvenir from Saba. All right, we have a Dan tip, and then we got more here from the Caribbean Explorer 2 liveaboard off the coast of Saba coming your way. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba Radio, diver's consumer tip number 227. The Atlantic Devil Ray has no poisonous barbs on its tail. Therefore, it is the Pope's official position that performing an exorcism is not necessary.
They just want to give you their blessing.
So please stop calling the Vatican.
If the nobles find out who you are, there'll be the devil to pay.
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving safety tip. And in the studio is Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. How's it going, Nick?
Hey, it's going great, Greg. It's good to see you actually at home. You've been traveling a lot lately.
Yeah, you can say that again.
So where are you headed to next? Some exotic dive location?
Nope, actually, I'm staying a bit closer to home for a while.
Taking a break from diving?
No way. We've got a ton of great diving right around here.
You know, you really do. You're not the only lucky one, though. There are a lot of great local dive sites, pretty much no matter where you live.
That's true. Shoot, find a puddle big enough and you can dive.
Yeah, but the visibility's horrible in puddles.
So is it easier to dive locally?
Well, it's usually less expensive than traveling, but diving local doesn't mean you can be lazy about your diving habits.
What do you mean?
Well, even if you're diving a site that's your second home, you've been there a million times, you still need to do all the planning and preparation you do if you are going on a big trip.
Like what?
Well, like the dive site. You need to think through all the considerations, including what the conditions are going to be like. Are you going to be diving deep? Are there going to be temperature extremes? Is visibility going to be different than what you're used to? Are you going to do a shore dive or dive in some place that has local marine life that may be a factor? What are your local resources and what might you tap into? Things like your local aquarium that might have rules or prerequisites. You should check into those before you go. Knowing as much as you can about the dive site down the road is just as important as researching your destination.
Knowing the site probably helps with gear and surface equipment consideration too, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Every dive has a unique set of conditions that you need to consider. And those include the things we just talked about. Things like temperature, navigational landmarks, potential hazards, and surface conditions. Knowing the conditions you'll face helps you make sure that you've got the appropriate gear and exposure protection, both in and out of the water.
And once you've familiarized yourself with the site and created a dive plan,
go through your gear and make sure it's ready for your plan. Has it been serviced and properly maintained? Is it working the way it's supposed to? Do you have the exposure protection you'll need? Are there any crucial accessories like a dive light or navigation reel that you might need? Just like you would when you're traveling, make a checklist and use it to prepare.
How about emergency procedures?
You should absolutely think of emergency procedures. Do you even know what the local procedures are? Do you have emergency oxygen on hand? And do you know where it is? Do you know how to use it? Is there staff on site to assist in an emergency? Or are you on your own? And if you will be the responsible person, are you up to date in your emergency training?
What about you as a diver?
And that might be the most important piece. A lot of folks think of local diving as easy diving. But you have to feel up to the local dive like you would any other. So you got to ask yourself, are you physically fit enough to dive? Are you mentally prepared to dive? And remember, it's always okay to call it off if you're not feeling up to it.
It sounds like even if you've cut the travel budget, you can't cut corners.
You've got it. It's a common mistake many divers make. They stay close to home and in familiar waters, and they get complacent. We all do it, because it's human nature. You get comfortable and you get complacent. But complacency really has no place in diving, and not taking the time to plan or prepare properly for a dive, even on a site you know really well, can be the difference between a safe dive and a really bad day.
So what you're saying is that even when you're staying close to home, do your homework.
Even if it's a puddle with bad visibility.
Local diving offers a lot of adventure and opportunity to sharpen your skills. But just because you're local doesn't mean you can be lazy. No matter where you plan to submerge, take the time to do it right. Plan and prepare each dive thoroughly, regardless of where you are or how many times you've been there before. Do that, and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
We are anchored off the coast of Saba on the Caribbean Explorer 2 Live Aboard with Explorer Ventures. Go to exploreventures.com. Get all the information on this itinerary so you can book it and do this adventure as well on your own. However, we are here. Mermaid Tony's with me as well. And I'm sitting down right now with the captain, JF. His name is, because I can never say it correctly, so he tells everybody to just call him JF. But just what is the proper name there, JF?
Jean-François.
Right. JF is his name, as I said. And he's French. He's from the good side of Canada.
Canadian.
Canada, the good side of Canada, or Canada, right? Or something like that. I don't know. But it's early afternoon, and it's land tour day, so we're not diving, so we've been doing a little drinking, but that's part of the experience,
well, the real people are diving right now.
Right, the real people, but they didn't do the land tour like we did, and taking in that whole Saba Spice experience. And Saba Spice, by the way, is a local concoction of some kind of spice and some heavy-duty alcoholic. It's just rum? Is that what it is? Tony, did you like it, by the way?
It's okay. We only tried the one that's Saba Spice, but they've got lots of fruits. They've got ginger, lots of different ones.
Guava berry, a banana, the whole thing. Has the crew sampled all this stuff when they're not working, JF?
Sure, we all the time.
Yes, they can't drink during the week, but on Friday when they get back to port, the crew is finally let loose, and we can have our little bonding experience then. And we've done that over in the past, because you've been on several trips with me, and so you've learned to expect the unexpected when the Scuba Radio crew is on board, right?
Correct.
Yeah, and like double up on the alcohol stockpiles for the week, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, we catch up on Friday. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, the crew catches up, but during the week they have to stockpile a few more, maybe a couple extra beers, just because I bring people like Mermaid Tony along, and you know how she is. These mermaids, they drink like fish. You hear what I'm saying, JF?
Yeah, I do.
What? What are you looking at me like that for, Tony?
Nothing. I think you've drank more than me on this trip.
That's totally not true. I've just tried to keep up with her so she didn't feel alone. It's all about being, doing this experience together as a group, right?
Right, but the difference is I can drink in a social group with other people without you. You can't drink in a social group with other people without me drinking as well and punishing my liver. What's up with that?
I have no idea what she just said. I heard la, 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 la. Ouch! But what are you going to do? But JF, this itinerary, you've been doing it for many years, right?
Yeah, this was the first itinerary that the company started with. So it's been over 25 years, almost 28, I think.
Yeah, it's been, well, exactly. I think you're right. 28 years. I think that's pretty accurate. Once again, exploreventures.com. I know we've been on the Turks and Caicos boat. That was your main boat for a long time, wasn't it? Or have you kind of jumped around a little bit?
Well, I've been on all the boats. This was my main boat 12 years ago. Then I moved to Turks, been in the Bahamas. I've been almost every destination. The next one is the Maldives. I haven't been there yet.
Yes, well, we did that one last week, and I think you're going to enjoy it immensely. You know, what's cool about all the crew members here on the boat is that, the cook, the captain, obviously the dive guides and everybody on the boat, they really dive quite a bit. You get in the water at least, I've seen you in the water at least 3 or 4 times already this week. Is that fairly typical for you, or what do you like to do on a given week when you have your off time?
Well, my off time, I'm not diving, but on the boat, I try to do a dive a day.
Dive a day, and that's just part of the routine. And I know you take a lot of pictures yourself. Is it macro? Is it the tiny things that kind of tickle your fancy there, JF, or what? What is it here off the coast of Saba, off this itinerary, that you like to see the most?
Well, St. Kitts is the macro, and Saba, you can go, I like both macro and wide angle. regarding photography. You have boat choice, but it's good diving.
Is there any particular animal that you're looking for that you like to see? Like, I know Brett was talking about he really loves to see nudibranchs, but is there a particular critter or underwater animal that tickles your fancy more than others, or what?
Well, the rare one, the hard to find one, are always a plus. Nudibranch, frogfish, any small items that are hard to find are always a plus, and always. When you see something you don't see often, the sharks or leatherback turtles or whale, you always fancy. It's always fun.
So it's the thrill of the hunt. It's the thrill of not knowing what you might see and then coming across that special moment. I know that we did the land tour today, but the dive that we had to skip because of it was one where there's a resident frogfish off the coast of Sabin.
I think they found a frogfish about 3 weeks ago, and it's been there, well, on every dive that we do on this particular dive site.
And they are one of the goofiest looking critters on the planet, for sure. But definitely something you can mark off the list here in Saba. More coming up. Stay close.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Bula, that's the greeting you get from the smiling, generous Fijians who welcome you to Fiji. And while Fiji's friendly people, white sand beaches, rainforest, and waterfalls are a huge draw for any traveler, divers in the know consider Fiji the soft coral capital of the world. With direct regular flights from LAX on Air Pacific, it's never been easier to live your Fiji experience. Go to FijiMe.com to book dive packages from backpacker to five-star spa resorts. That's FijiMe.com.
Hey guys, this is Wyland, and you're listening to Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Dive in.
Yes, Wyland, I know he's been here to Saba, I'm sure of it. They used to have a little mural there at the dock. I don't think it was a Wyland piece of work, but what was it? Pauly, do you know? What was it? What happened to that mural? Pauly's one of the dive folks here on the CX2. What happened to it?
They're renovating the whole porch.
They're renovating?
Yeah.
So what happened to that mural? Was it? That wasn't a Wyland, was it?
No, it wasn't. It was a local production.
Local production. I remember the big whale shark, right?
It was.
Said, welcome to Saba or something like that?
Something like that. But they had to tear it down because they're redoing the entire port. And as you saw, they've built an entirely new retaining wall to stop the rocks from coming down.
All right. Well, I'll call Wyland. And maybe we can get him to come out here to Saba and help you guys out. How about that?
That would be fun.
I know him. All I have to do is offer up Mermaid Tony to him, and I can get anything I want. You hear what I'm saying, Polly?
Absolutely.
Yes, okay. All right, we're going to talk to Polly here in just a bit about, you know, the day in the life of working a liveaboard dive boat. But before we get into that, I got Dan Orr here from Divers Alert Network. He's actually getting ready for a presentation tonight that we're going to give for the folks here on the boat, as well as some of the dive community on the island of Saba. And Dan, tell us about it. For people who obviously aren't here with us today and can't experience this seminar, let's talk about what you're actually showing everybody and giving everybody an idea of what this thing is all about. Because it's a pretty cool little presentation. You've been touring around the U.S. and the world and sharing this information with divers and anybody interested in this type of stuff, right?
Well, whenever I get into an area, that's the one thing we want to be able to do is offer an opportunity for people to see this presentation or any other presentations that we have. And this particular one is one, as you mentioned, that I've been giving around the world. I gave it in St. Kitts just recently. Before that, I actually gave it in Gdansk, Poland, believe it or not. And it's been well received wherever we go because it really has to do with Dan data. Not only Dan data, but also recommendations on how to mitigate risks or make diving a lot safer. So the genesis of this particular presentation has to do with research that was done by our research department at Dan, where they reviewed nearly 1,000 diving fatalities, trying to look at what the triggering events were that turned a relatively unremarkable dive into something a lot more serious, which unfortunately ultimately led to a fatality. And then we look at all of the other subsequent steps that, again, turned that dive into something a lot more serious, as well as, as I mentioned before, some recommendations on how to make diving a lot safer. And it's a very good comprehensive presentation, and it's also enjoyable to watch, believe it or not.
Yeah, well, it is. I've actually seen it 3 or 4 times now because we travel around with Dan and we cross paths quite a bit at some of the shows and things, and it's never boring. You have some little nuance that you throw in there, some interesting little statistic, and it's very interesting to see the reaction to the divers in the audience, especially. And you know, when you see it over and over again, you know, there's something like, hey, that's right, I didn't think about that thing. You pick it up, you got a lot of information in there, don't you?
There is. In fact, you're absolutely right. I try to update it on a regular basis, so virtually every time I give it, as I'm giving the presentation, I'm looking at all the information and the data and trying to figure out if there's something else I could add to it to make it a little bit more interesting, not only for the audience, but for me as well, because I want to make sure I enjoy the presentation too. And I also come into and I have an opportunity to see new statistics and new information that I can add into various parts. And I also try to make it specific to that region by adding in some information that would be very, very relevant to the local diving community.
Like, for instance, you have a thing like statistics on you have a more likely chance to be killed by a falling coconut than diving or something like that. That kind of stuff, right? So, like a local element for Saba, for instance, is more people have died from drinking the Saba spice than would be on a dive trip, kind of thing.
I would imagine. I haven't had the opportunity to sample the local spice, but I hear it's pretty potent.
If you drink a whole bottle of that stuff, I have no doubt that'll cause a fatality. But I'm just guessing after one shot. You hear what I'm saying? I was sweating. I was right up there with the Hammond.
Certainly going to kill off a lot of brain cells. And if it's anything like the Hammond, you know, it's going to be a unique experience.
Yeah, pink elephants all. Thing. I'm sure if you drink enough of it,
or
it'll have the...
You never can tell.
Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, it's that local experience that you have to partake in, and sometimes that can kill a few brain cells along the way. But once again, to each his own. You go with it, go with the flow, and if that's what you want to do to enjoy the culture, go for it. So the name of the presentation, it's something like When Good Divers Do Bad Things?
It's, Diver Fatalities, When Bad Things Happen to Good Divers.
There you go. Okay, just take it, reverse it, and then we got it. So you can see this seminar, obviously, if you catch Dan on tour, more or less, but they could probably contact Divers Alert Network, and if you have a dive shop or maybe coordinate a schedule, you might be able to do this for a club or a group or something, or what?
Oh, absolutely. I've done it all over the country. In fact, we now have these things called webinars, and we can actually do a webinar for any club anywhere in the country, actually virtually anywhere in the world. Some of our staff have done webinars for dive clubs as far away as the Marshall Islands, where they were actually in our office at 3 o'clock in the morning doing a presentation for them at their club meeting around 7 o'clock in the evening. So we can do those. We can do those anytime. All they've got to do is to call the office and talk to either me personally, or they can talk to some of the folks at the office, and they'll be able to arrange a webinar anytime they want it.
Nice. And you've been doing this for how long? This particular seminar, I would say it's almost a year, isn't it? Or
it's more than that.
Yeah. Has it been
3 or 4 years? Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay. Okay. So, I mean, is this one of a series of presentations that you have in rotation, kind of thing, or what?
Well, I do. I have another one that's called Are You Really Ready to Dive, which has to do with diving equipment and the role diving equipment plays in diving emergencies. In fact, even in this fatality presentation, one of the sections I talk about is the role of diving equipment. And so that's another one that's available. And I do some on the history of Dan. I do some on some of the things that Dan does. If you're injured and have a diving emergency, how you know what to do after that. So there are a lot of different things that we can do.
Yes, no doubt. But and if you're lucky enough like us, Dan Orr and his wife Betty will be on the boat with us here on the Caribbean Explorer 2 and can dive with us during the week, and you can be his dive buddy and obviously maybe pick up a few tips or two. I know Travis is really enjoying this this week. Having someone of your stature as a dive buddy is quite a thrilling thing for him, for sure. Not alone, you know, not to mention me, Tony, and everyone else.
Well, I think everybody's learning from everybody else on this trip. And it's really, really exciting. A bunch of great divers. We're having a fantastic time, and couldn't be any better, actually.
Yes, it could. It definitely adds another element to our Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise to kick it up a notch, for sure. You know, this wind, by the way, is blowing. This is evidently Tropical Storm Ophelia. It's threatening our diving just a little bit, but it looks like we're going to finish in our diving before the weekends, and it won't be a factor. But obviously, you hear the wind in the background. It's keeping things cool, but that's fine. All right, hour two of Scuba Radio's On Deck. More from Saba and more from the Caribbean Explorer Liveaboard and what it's like to work one. That's coming up in hour two. Stay close.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.